Right. Good singing. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Good singing this morning. Good to be in the Lord's house on this fellowship Sunday. 1 Samuel 17. We're looking at the subject today, or the title of, Is There Not a Cause? Is there not a cause? And we'll be reading in 1 Samuel 17, verses 4 through 10. And then we're going to jump over to verse number 24 and read down through verse number 29. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to them? Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Jumping over to verse number 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that man who killeth him. The king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house amongst your people. And as your word is open, I just ask you, Lord, to bless this time that we have together. And I ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say. And I trust that it'll be a help to your people in this day and age in which we live. I hope it'll be something that we can put into practice, that we'll see the need for. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Father's Day, if you remember, we looked at David's counsel to his son, soon to be king of Israel, King Solomon. We looked at how David said in 1 Kings 2, in verse 2, to be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And this morning, we're going to look at the strength of David and highlight that strength through this story of David and Goliath. But we see first off that David had a problem, and David's problem in this passage was that God was being defied. We see in verse number 26, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So David's problem was with this. David did not like this, but David wasn't the only one when you read this story. But what separated David from the whole Israeli army that day is that David was willing to do something about what he did not like. David did not have the size, he didn't have the strength, he didn't have the weaponry, he didn't have the training, he didn't have the age to be qualified. All he knew was that something must be done. And David said essentially, what shall be done? Now, he was referring to what shall be done to the men, whoever they, that, or the man that kills this Philistine. But when we think about what shall be done, sometimes we have to consider the fact that when something needs to be done, we don't have to question whether or not something should be done. David knew that something needed to be done. It was a matter of what, how, when, and where. And I tell you today, most times we don't have to ask ourselves or others if something should be done in defense of good and right. If there's anything that we can learn from this story today is that some things are not a matter of if. If you don't like something enough, you're going to do something about it. You'll speak up if you don't like something enough. You'll get your hands dirty if you don't like something enough. You will stand up for something if you don't like something enough. And we see not only the backbone of this young boy in this passage, so we see also that young men can stand up too. You can do what David did on this day. I'm reminded of the hymn, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high your royal banner. Goliath came out defying the armies of the living God. And while a king and a whole army may not have liked it, it didn't bother him enough to do something about it. And that's in large part at times where Christianity is today. At times, tragically, Christians are standing up on a hillside with the Goliath down below, knowing Goliath needs fought, but wanting someone else to go in and fight for them. Off somewhere on the sidelines, chattering amongst themselves, who will go, who will fight? They look around, they look to and fro amongst themselves, reasoning amongst themselves, not me, not I, while trying to recruit someone else. And they cannot find a fighter amongst themselves. But in this story, God raised up a man named David that would. Goliath came out, defied the armies of the living God. The word defy means to dare, to provoke, to combat, or strive. By appealing to the courage of another, to invite one to contest, to challenge, as Goliath defied the armies of Israel. You ever had someone try to poke and prod you into a reaction? You know they were just trying to get a reaction out of you. You know they're just trying to get a rise out of you. There was times, even in the Marines, and I had to pick up on this after time, after a while. It took me a little bit to learn, but sometimes people are saying something to you just to get a response out of you. Sometimes somebody wants you to fist fight them, and they're going to say things to you that they think will get you to do just that. And it takes time at times for us to learn these things. But there are times even amongst our lives where, you know, the older you get, sometimes it's words. People will say things to you just to get a response out of you. They want to fight. They want to fight. And I tell you what, the one that finishes it is just as bad as the one that starts it. If you know somebody's just trying to get a reaction out of you and you give them what they want, you just as bad as them. And you became them. And the Lord's been trying to work on me about this sometimes too, because somebody will get in the flesh and come at me. And before I even thought about it, I've said something back in the flesh. Sometimes it happens. And then you become the person. But we think about the defying. It's a poking, it's a prodding with an intent to incite a reaction. Goliath wanted them to fight him. And he was doing everything he could and saying everything he could to incite that reaction. In this story, Goliath is a blasphemer who took the God of Israel lightly. He took the Israeli army lightly. It's almost the same thread as those who mocked Jesus as he hung on the cross for you and I. Matthew 27, verses 39 through 43. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying that thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. for he said, I am the Son of God. It was a poking and a prodding at Jesus on that day to get a reaction. And Jesus had to face that all the time from the scribes and the Pharisees trying to entrap him. If you've paid any attention to how Jesus was treated during his earthly ministry, the naysayers, they were always poking, they were always prodding, trying to incite a reaction, trying to entrap, trying to ensnare. But Jesus avoided every one of them. That's amazing to me. There was times where Jesus had responses to honest questions. Now, I'll find sometimes people will come to you and they don't have an honest question. They just want to fight with you about maybe a position that you hold or maybe a doctrine that you believe from the Bible, and they don't want to have an open and honest discussion. They want to convince you. They want to fight with you about that. I do my best if I discern that to avoid those kinds of discussions, those kinds of conversations. The Bible uses the term doubtful disputations. Got to be careful. You can sit around talking about stuff contrary positions to the Bible and allow people to plant doubt in your minds about what God has told you to be true. Now, this is what wisdom will do for you. It will keep you out of snares. Now, how do you learn to avoid snares? Well, in part, it's by the wisdom that the Lord gives you, but also it's by being ensnared. I've been trapped so many times by word games that I'm paying attention to them. I try to pick my battle, so to speak. I try to pick the battlefield, so to speak. Sometimes it's just not the place. Sometimes it's just not the place to have the discussion. But it keeps you out of snares. It keeps you out of traps. It'll help you stand tall when you need to, like David did. You see, David seen a problem. David knew something had to be done about it. And this little shepherd boy was ready and willing to be the solution to the problem. He begins to take action in verses 45 through verse number 47. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven, in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David knew what it took to be strong. That's the biggest thing sometimes that I wish men understood, and young boys, what it takes to be strong. David knew that it was God through him is where his strength came from. David was the weakest man physically in stature compared to both armies that day when facing Goliath. Now, those in leadership understand that sometimes the most qualified may make them the most underqualified. And I didn't understand this until leadership. It's a whole lot better to have somebody that's willing to work with you and willing to learn, willing to listen, than it is to have somebody that has all the qualifications, all the degrees in the world, all the experience in the world, but set in their own ways. David was a man that honestly I probably wouldn't have chosen. I'd have gone walking up down that hillside looking at the army of the Israelis, and I'd have done what men do. Be like, you know what, he's tall, he'll match up. Little bit more to Goliath. He's a little closer in size and strength to Goliath. This one's been fighting for a while. He's got the most experience. I probably would have looked at it the way men do at times. When we're looking for somebody to fight, we start sizing up. You start sizing up, and we're like, you know what? I want to send this one in. David was the weakest man physically in stature compared to both armies that day when facing Goliath. He was the weakest of the Israeli army. He had not been trained. He didn't have the strength, but he had God on his side. And whatever it is today that you may be facing, you may not have the strength as of yet. You may not have the training as of yet. You may not have all the answers as of yet. We seldom do. But if God is for us, then who can be against us? David, the least likely in all the kingdom, went out armed with the tools of his trade. Not the weapons of war. It was the tools of his trade. And armed with God on his side, and he accomplished what no other man in the kingdom could have done. And I tell you today, there are things in front of you that only you can do. There are things in front of you that only you can handle. You take the pastorate of Emmanuel Baptist Church. God has me here as your pastor, and it's his will for me to be here. At this time, at this moment, I'm the only one that can pastor this church. If God has you in your position, your ministry, then you're the only one who can do it. Fathers are the only one who can father your kids. Wives, you're the only ones that can be a wife to your husband. Husbands, you're the only one who can be a husband to your wife. Children, you're the only ones who can be a children to your parents. Grandchildren, only you can be grandchildren to your grandparents. And grandparents, only you can grandparent your grandchildren. And great is the responsibility on us in the areas that nobody can do but us. And great was the responsibility on the shoulders of David this day, because he was the only one in the land who could do what needed to be done on this day. You saw strength coming from David on that day, but not just any strength. It was the kind of strength that Philippians 4:13 talks about, where I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. David had the strength of God that day. David was armed with the power of God that day. It was in his heart, and it manifested itself out here. He spoke out. Now, I'd love to read this passage. The small-framed shepherd boy that was too small to fit in man's armor, too weak to carry a man's shield, head too small for a man's helmet, too weak to yield a man's sword, but steps in the ring anyhow with a man. But not only a man, but a giant of a man, and a well-trained man, a man of war. And you can almost see this boy under the power of God, filled with the strength of Christ, when he walked out and spoke these words in verses 45 through 47. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." You can see the faith of David here. David called it before it all happened. David was acting on faith. David knew that God was on his side. David knew that God would not abandon him in his time of need. He knew that God was with him against the bear. He knew that God was with him against the lion. God used those things to prepare David for Goliath. And I tell you what, that for me, I would be more scared of a lion and a bear than Goliath. That's just me. But David knew, if God got me through those things, he's going to get me through Goliath. David knew something about strength, but not just any strength. He knew something about the strength of God. And part of being a man is to be strong in Christ. You know, David wasn't a man that instilled fear in others. You wouldn't have saw David, I don't believe, at this time, and would have been afraid of him. He didn't instill fear in Goliath. He was laughed at. He was mocked, just a little shepherd boy, in verses 42 through 44. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Isn't it amazing how sometimes the devil tries to claim things against you that he can't come through on? Goliath puffed at David, kind of like this little runt. He's just a youth, or as some people would say, just a young whippersnapper, or still wet behind the ears. He's got a fair countenance. Maybe Goliath is thinking he doesn't look rough, or maybe he's thinking he looks soft, or maybe he thinks he's, you know what, he hadn't gone through anything in life. He doesn't look intimidating. He looks like a little sheltered boy. But what Goliath didn't know is that David had a secret weapon, and it was his God. And because of that, he was a man of great strength. Now you think about, even this young boy had more strength than all the grown men on both sides of the army and the king combined. It was his faith and his trust in God that made the impossible possible, which made him stronger than both armies. David's greatest feats were carried out based on the strength which God alone could provide. And we know the rest of the story. God wins through this little shepherd boy who saw something that he didn't like. We think about even the feeding of the 5,000, where it was the young boy's lunch. God uses young people. He does. God uses children. God uses teenagers. And it's tragic at times where he has to, because when adults could and should, they won't. And that's case in point right here on this day in the story between David and Goliath. The people who had the training, the people who had the experience, the people that had the acknowledge, that had the knowledge, were unwilling. But God wins through a little shepherd boy who saw something that he didn't like. But he was willing to do something about it. And he had the strength of God, and he had faith in God. He was willing to be used of God to accomplish what only he could. If you look with me at verse 48 through 52, we see in verse 48, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." It's interesting to me that we don't see any reluctance. Some of us, if you're like me, you're kind of a toe in the water at a time. You're going to test things. You're going to try things a little bit. You're going to see what, some surveying a little bit, reconnaissance. We don't see any reluctance. We don't see any hesitation. And you know what? God can use this sometimes in young people also. We've called it sometimes either a lack of fear or a lack of sense or something in young people at times. God can use that for his advantage too. Because I tell you what, there's things even 10 years ago I'd have thought about one time and did it. And now I think about something a couple of times before, maybe three times before I do it now. I think a little bit more. And sometimes that's what kind of gets us sometimes. The older we get, we start thinking a little bit more. I'm not saying it ain't good to think, but God can use young people and teenagers and even young adults to do things, because he knows we're just going to listen and we're not going to think about it. We're just going to do it. It's dangerous? Okay. Like they've said before, the famous last words of a redneck is, "Hey, y'all, watch this." You just plow into it. You don't think about it. You just do it. You just do it. And the Lord knows how to use that. We see a young boy who had a goal. He had a purpose. He was a young man with vision. A young man with fire and intensity about him. We don't see fear. He hastened and ran out towards this whole army on a hillside. Now, I was thinking about this. I'm sure it would be an intimidating sight, what we see in our whole in our minds. A whole army on a hillside. When you stand before Goliath, the backdrop is an army. But remember, we see no hesitance from David. Now, when I was thinking about this, I would think it would at least cross my mind. If I kill this guy, the Philistines are going to charge me. Israel's going to charge me to get to them because I'm going to be in the middle. I would think that would have at least crossed my mind. But we see no reluctance from David, no hesitance. When nobody had the courage to yell charge within the army of Israel, God through David said charge, and David charged by himself. And God brought a great victory that day through a young shepherd boy. I love verse 50. The dust is settled, the battle is over. And we've not done a deep dive into this morning. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. That's probably one of the biggest parts of verse 50. But there was no sword in the hand of David. We have a proclamation of victory. But also love how the scriptures reiterates an important detail at the end. But there was no sword in the hand of David. David did things God's way with the tools that God provided. You think about even those stones. Those stones weren't man-made. God made those. David did things God's way with the tools that God provided. You see, I believe had David used a sword or a shield, man could get glory in their weaponry. I'm reminded of a New Testament passage in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25 through 29, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. To the world, David made no sense. To you and I, it probably made no sense. To the world, David's tools made no sense. To the world, the size, the age, and the stature of David made no sense. But God turned it all around, and he dumped it on their heads when he took David and he used it. And I tell you, God wants to use you. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done. God wants to use you. And you may not have it all together now, but you'll never have it all together. You just start. You just start. And the Lord's had to remind me of that at times. Because if we're not careful, we'll get to chasing perfection to the point that we won't even start something unless it's perfect, but it'll never be perfect. So then we just keep chasing something that'll never be perfect and not starting it and not doing it. And there's several areas that the Lord has impressed upon my heart that it's time to start some things even here. It won't be perfect to start with, but we'll move along with it and we'll adapt. Even a remodel is a lot that way. You're remodeling stuff. We've had to adapt. Yeah, you have your design phase and you've got the areas where you're like, we're going to do this, that, and the other. Then once you start doing it, then you have to evolve a little bit and you got to change some things because sometimes plans at best are plans until you start trying to implement them. Then things change and you have to adapt. You got to evolve some. But the idea is just do it. Get going with it. David had to get going with it. Yeah, there's Goliath, but get going with it. And he did. He got going with it. And if we're not careful, we will overthink something to the point that it creates an inability within us to even do anything, to even accomplish anything. And yeah, we need to put thought into things before we do them. But if you're putting so much thought in stuff that you're not doing it, then your thought is a curse. And I've been there. I have been there. And the Lord's bringing me out of some of that right now in several areas. Sometimes we want everything to be perfect, everything to be in order, and then once it is, then we're like, okay, now I do this. No. Because even if it's, how many times have you planned something and you thought it was perfect? You thought it was good the way it is. You planned it, you designed it, you thought it was good just the way it is, and then you got started then to find out that you had flaws. It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. You got to be reminded of what God wants you to do, what is God's will. And then get at it. And then be willing to change along the way. Be willing to grow along the way. Be willing to adapt and be willing to overcome things along the way. We don't see much of David's thought here. We don't. I don't know what he was thinking as he's gathering these stones, as he's going about this task that the Lord has for him to do. I don't know if there was any self-reflection at any of this point and saying, you know, I think I might be a little underqualified for this. I don't know. He's human, I know that. And in a way, no different than us, and we're no different than him. So without a doubt, sometimes maybe he was having some of those things and he overcome them. How many times have we talked ourselves out of stuff? Lord has something for us to do and we've talked ourselves out of it. It's happened to me many times. Talked myself out of it to then, but thankful the Lord didn't give up on me. He came right back with it. And then come back with it and then come back with it until finally, hands up, I surrender, I'm going to do it. And it might start out a little rougher than what I thought. Preaching definitely did, and I'm still not arrived, but it definitely started out rough, if you ask me. But you just get started. You just get going with it. The Lord has a desire to use you today. You just got to put your hands up and say, I'll do it. You might see yourself as a project, and you might be right. We all are. You might be a project. You're probably not ready right now. But he'll make you ready. You just got to start. You just got to submit. You got to surrender and get moving. The Lord will make you ready. He'll qualify you. He equips. Thankful for that. And we see that with David. And you know what? The Lord gets all the glory as he did in this passage. Because people look at David and they say, So I ask you today, as we looked at, is there not a cause out of verse 29? And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And there is a cause today. It's the gospel. It's the cause of Christ. Is there not a cause? There's something for us to be doing today when it comes to sharing our faith. And just going about our Father's business and being about the cause of Christ. There's something in it for all of us. There truly is. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for...